The battle for discipline is won or lost in the mind. Every action, every decision, every moment of strength or weakness originates in thought. Before anyone can master their actions, they must first master their mindset. A disciplined mind does not wait for the right mood or ideal circumstances. It moves with intention, unaffected by fleeting emotions or external conditions. This is the essence of self-mastery, the ability to command one's thoughts rather than be controlled by them. Throughout history, the greatest minds understood that discipline is not about force, it is about clarity. Plato, in his Pursuit of Wisdom, argued that the soul must rule over desire, that reason must govern impulse. To him, true freedom did not come from indulging every whim, but from the ability to restrain oneself in pursuit of something higher. This is where most people struggle, not because they lack ambition, but because they allow their emotions to dictate their actions. A person who waits to feel like working out, writing, or studying will find that the right mood rarely comes. But a person who acts despite how they feel is the one who transforms potential into reality. Modern psychology reinforces this truth. Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, CBT, one of the most effective psychological frameworks, teaches that thoughts shape emotions and emotions shape actions. If a person constantly tells themselves, "I'm not good at this," "I can't stay consistent," or "I always give up," their mind will find ways to validate these beliefs. But if they shift their internal dialogue, if they start seeing themselves as someone who is disciplined, who follows through, who does not quit, their actions will begin to align with this identity. Self-discipline begins with self-perception. Change the way you see yourself, and you change the way you act. One of the simplest but most powerful mental shifts is removing choice from essential habits. Marcus Aurelius, the Stoic emperor, did not wake up each morning debating whether to face his responsibilities. He trained his mind to accept duty as inevitable. He understood that discipline is weakened by hesitation. When an action is optional, the mind will find excuses to avoid it. But when something is simply a non-negotiable part of life, like breathing, eating, or sleeping, there is no inner conflict. A person who decides that waking up early, exercising, or practicing a skill is just what they do eliminates the struggle of willpower. It is no longer a question of, should I? It is simply a matter of execution. Another key mental shift is embracing resistance instead of avoiding it. Many people believe that discipline should feel effortless, that if they struggle to stay consistent, something is wrong. But Buddhist philosophy teaches that struggle is not the enemy, it is the path. The mind resists difficult tasks because they require energy, but discipline is built by moving through resistance, not waiting for it to disappear. When a person expects difficulty, they stop seeing it as a reason to quit. Instead, they accept it as part of the process. The disciplined mind does not avoid discomfort. It expects it, embraces it, and moves forward anyway. Training the mind for discipline also requires developing a strong internal why. Friedrich Nietzsche once said, "He who has a why to live can bear almost any how." Many people struggle with consistency not because they lack discipline, but because they lack a clear reason for their efforts. A goal without meaning feels empty, and an empty goal is easy to abandon. But when a person connects their discipline to a larger purpose, whether it is improving their health, mastering a skill, or building something meaningful, they tap into a source of motivation that is stronger than fleeting emotions. Discipline without purpose is a burden. Discipline with purpose is a force. Ultimately, Mastering one's mindset is not about suppressing emotions, nor is it about forcing oneself into rigid routines. It is about understanding the mind's tendencies, working with them rather than against them, and shaping thought patterns that support rather than sabotage progress. Plato saw that reason must rule over impulse. Marcus Aurelius trained himself to eliminate hesitation. Buddhist teachings remind us that struggle is the path. Nietzsche showed that purpose fuels endurance. Their lesson is clear. Self-discipline is not about fighting against oneself. It is about aligning thoughts, actions, and purpose into a singular, unstoppable force. Those who master their mindset do not need to rely on willpower. They simply become the kind of person who follows through, because to them, there is no other way. Conquer yourself daily, the battle within. Every day presents a silent battle, not against external forces, but against the distractions, doubts, and impulses that threaten to pull you away from your purpose. The greatest struggle is not with the world, it is with the self. The disciplined do not wait for ideal conditions to act. They fight this battle every morning, every hour, every moment, choosing focus over distraction, progress over stagnation. Self-discipline is not won in a single moment of strength, but in the quiet, daily victories over one's lesser impulses. Sun Tzu, the ancient Chinese strategist, wrote in The Art of War that, "If you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles." This wisdom applies not just to war, but to life. Many people set ambitious goals, but fail because they do not understand the true enemy, their own patterns of procrastination, their habits of avoidance, their emotional resistance to effort. The disciplined individual studies these tendencies not with self-judgment, but with awareness. They observe the excuses their mind creates, the moments of hesitation, the small justifications for delay, and then they override them. They do not wait for motivation to strike. They move forward regardless. One of the greatest challenges in conquering oneself is overcoming the impulse for immediate gratification. The mind seeks comfort, and modern life provides infinite ways to indulge it. Social media, entertainment, food, and countless other distractions that offer temporary pleasure but derail long-term progress. Seneca, the Stoic philosopher, warned against this trap. "Most powerful is he who has himself in his own power." Self-discipline is not about deprivation, it is about control. It is about knowing when to enjoy pleasure and when to delay it in service of something greater. The person who masters themselves does not eliminate desire, but directs it toward meaningful pursuits. Psychologists refer to this ability as delay discounting, the tendency to undervalue future rewards in favor of immediate ones. Studies show that those who develop the habit of delaying gratification, who train themselves to resist the easy path, tend to achieve higher levels of success in almost every domain. The famous marshmallow experiment at Stanford University demonstrated this principle clearly. Children who could resist eating a marshmallow for a bigger reward later in life grew up to be more disciplined, more successful, and more capable of handling stress. The lesson is simple but powerful. Those who win in life are those who learn to consistently choose future success over present comfort. However, discipline is not just about resisting temptation. It is also about winning small battles that compound into significant victories. The samurai, ancient warriors of Japan, lived by the Bushido code, which emphasized self-mastery through daily rituals of discipline. They believed that every small act, how they trained, how they carried themselves, how they completed even the simplest tasks, was a reflection of their greater character. This principle remains just as relevant today. The way a person wakes up, the way they handle distractions, the way they approach their smallest habits, all of these micro decisions shape their larger destiny. Winning the morning sets the tone for winning the day. Winning the day leads to winning the week. Winning the week leads to winning a lifetime. One of the most effective ways to conquer oneself daily is through pre-commitment strategies, removing the option to fail before resistance even begins. Odysseus, in Homer's The Odyssey, famously tied himself to the mast of his ship to resist the song of the sirens, knowing that his future self would be tempted to steer off course. This is the same approach used by the most disciplined people today. They remove distractions before they arise, commit to their routines in advance, and design their environment in a way that makes discipline the default, not the exception. The battle for self-mastery is not won through force, but through strategy. Sun Tzu taught that knowing oneself eliminates fear. Seneca revealed that the strongest person is the one who controls themselves. The samurai demonstrated that discipline is built through small daily victories. Odysseus proved that the best way to resist temptation is to anticipate it in advance. Their lesson is clear. Every day a decision must be made, to control oneself or to be controlled by impulse. Those who consistently win this battle, no matter how small the victory, build a foundation for extraordinary achievement. Embrace discomfort. Growth comes from pushing beyond your comfort zone. Discomfort is the price of transformation. No one achieves anything of significance by staying where it is easy, where it is familiar, where there is no resistance. Yet the mind instinctively seeks comfort. It avoids pain, prefers routine, and resists the unknown. This is why most people remain stuck, not because they lack potential, but because they avoid the very discomfort that would set them free. Those who master self-discipline do not run from discomfort. They lean into it. They understand that every struggle, every moment of challenge, is an opportunity to grow. This truth is evident in nature. The oak tree grows strongest when it faces the wind, its roots deepening with each storm. The muscle grows only through resistance, tearing and rebuilding stronger than before. The same principle applies to the mind. Socrates, the great Athenian philosopher, believed that discomfort is not a signal to stop, but a sign of learning. He challenged his students relentlessly, forcing them to question their assumptions, to confront ideas that made them uneasy. To him, growth was not about finding answers that felt comfortable. It was about challenging oneself to seek deeper truths, even when they were difficult to face. Modern neuroscience confirms that mental toughness is built through exposure to controlled discomfort. This is known as hormetic stress, the idea that small doses of stress strengthen the body and mind. This is why cold exposure, intense exercise, and intellectual challenges all have profound benefits. The brain, like the body, adapts to the stress it endures. Those who consistently expose themselves to small challenges, who train themselves to withstand discomfort, become far more resilient over time. This is why elite athletes push themselves beyond their limits, why successful entrepreneurs take calculated risks, why the most disciplined individuals seek out difficult tasks instead of avoiding them. They are not stronger because they were born that way. They're stronger because they train themselves to handle discomfort without breaking. Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher, famously stated, "That which does not kill us makes us stronger." This is more than a saying. It is a fundamental truth about human resilience. Those who embrace discomfort, who seek out challenges, who do the difficult things first, who willingly endure short-term hardship for long-term growth, develop a level of inner strength that cannot be replicated by those who always choose the easy path. The mind, like any muscle, only strengthens when it is pushed beyond its limits. But how does one train themselves to embrace discomfort? The answer is small, deliberate exposure. The cold shower method, practiced by ancient warriors and now backed by modern science, exposing oneself to discomfort in the form of cold water, builds mental toughness and trains the brain to remain calm under stress. The daily discipline challenge, committing to one difficult task every day, whether it is waking up early, exercising intensely, or engaging in deep work without distractions, conditions the mind to tolerate effort without resistance. The do-it-anyway principle, when the mind resists something productive, whether it is reading, exercising, or tackling an important task, train yourself to do it anyway. This rewires the brain to act despite discomfort, rather than because of motivation. Ancient samurai warriors practiced misogi, a form of purification that involved pushing oneself beyond perceived physical and mental limits. They believed that true strength came not from ease, but from deliberately facing hardship. This practice remains relevant today. Those who train themselves to endure discomfort without breaking become the ones who rise above those who wait for perfect conditions. Socrates showed that discomfort leads to deeper wisdom. Nietzsche proved that hardship builds resilience. The samurai understood that struggle forges strength. Neuroscience confirms that the brain adapts to the challenges it faces. Their lesson is clear. If you wish to grow, you must stop avoiding discomfort and start embracing it. Those who do so find that over time, what once felt unbearable becomes effortless, and what once seemed impossible becomes second nature. The path to mastery is not found in comfort. It is found in the willingness to endure and push forward, no matter how difficult the road ahead may seem. Prioritize long-term goals over instant gratification, the discipline of patience. The battle between long-term success and short-term pleasure is one of the greatest challenges in self-discipline. The modern world is designed for immediate gratification, fast food, instant notifications, on-demand entertainment. Everything is structured to give quick pleasure at the cost of deeper fulfillment. But those who achieve mastery, whether in their careers, relationships, or personal growth, are the ones who learn to sacrifice the fleeting for the lasting, the temporary for the permanent, the convenient for the meaningful. The ancient Greeks understood this deeply. Plato warned against the dangers of seeking immediate pleasure at the expense of long-term wisdom. He compared the undisciplined mind to a chariot where desire, if left unchecked, would drive a person recklessly toward ruin. To him, true strength was found in delayed gratification, the ability to resist temptation in favor of something greater. This idea has stood the test of time. Those who learn to delay pleasure in pursuit of a meaningful goal always surpass those who live for the moment without direction. Modern psychology reinforces this concept through the marshmallow experiment conducted at Stanford University. Researchers placed a marshmallow in front of children and told them they could either eat it immediately or wait and receive two marshmallows later. The results were clear. Those who were able to wait, who could resist the impulse for instant pleasure, grew up to be more successful, more disciplined, and better able to handle life's challenges. The lesson is simple. The ability to wait, to persist, to prioritize the future over the present, is one of the most powerful predictors of success. But delaying gratification is not just about resisting temptation. It is about reprogramming the way the brain perceives effort and reward. Neuroscience shows that every time a person chooses a long-term reward over an immediate one, they strengthen neural pathways that make discipline easier in the future. The more often a person resists impulse, the stronger their ability to do so becomes. This is why the disciplined do not just resist distraction once. They train themselves daily to ignore the unimportant and focus on the essential. The Stoics mastered this practice through voluntary hardship, choosing to live simply, even when wealth was available, so that they would never become slaves to luxury. Seneca, one of the wealthiest men of his time, practiced sleeping on the floor and eating the most basic meals to remind himself that comfort was not necessary for happiness. He understood that by conditioning oneself to endure difficulty, the temptations of luxury and ease would lose their power. This is still relevant today. Those who train themselves to choose health over junk food, deep work over distractions, financial discipline over mindless spending, become masters of their own destiny. One of the most effective ways to develop this mindset is the 24-hour rule. Whenever faced with a decision that involves impulse, whether it is a purchase, a reaction, or a major life choice, wait 24 hours before acting. This simple delay often reveals that what seemed urgent was actually unnecessary. By training the mind to pause before acting on emotion, people regain control over their impulses. Another strategy is reward bundling, pairing an enjoyable activity with a necessary one. This is a technique used by elite athletes, high performers, and disciplined individuals to train themselves to push through difficulty. For example, listening to an audiobook while exercising, or allowing oneself a small pleasure only after completing deep work. This retrains the brain to associate discipline with reward, making it easier to sustain over time. Ultimately, the ability to prioritize the future over the present is what separates those who achieve greatness from those who remain trapped by short-term pleasure. Plato saw that unchecked desire leads to ruin. The marshmallow experiment proved that those who can wait achieve more. Neuroscience confirms that discipline is strengthened with practice. Seneca demonstrated that voluntary hardship makes a person immune to temptation. Their lesson is clear. Success is not about luck or talent. It is about the ability to endure discomfort in the present for something greater in the future. Those who master this skill do not need motivation to succeed. They build the habits that make long-term victory inevitable. Build unshakable habits. Your daily actions define you. Self-discipline is not about occasional bursts of motivation. It is about consistency. The most successful people in any field, whether in business, art, sports, or philosophy, are not necessarily the most talented. They are the ones who have mastered the power of habit, transforming their actions into automatic, repeatable behaviors that drive them toward excellence. The greatest obstacle to achievement is not a lack of knowledge or skill. It is the failure to commit to daily disciplined action. The ancient philosopher Aristotle famously stated, "We are what we repeatedly do." Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. This insight remains as true today as it was centuries ago. People often believe that success comes from talent or intelligence, but the reality is far simpler. Your future is shaped by the things you do every single day. Those who wait for inspiration will always be inconsistent. Those who train themselves to act, regardless of how they feel, will always outperform those who rely on fleeting motivation. Modern psychology supports this idea through habit formation theory, which explains that the brain thrives on routine. James Clear, in Atomic Habits, describes how habits form through a cycle of cue, action, and reward, Every behavior, whether good or bad, follows this structure. For example, if checking your phone is the first thing you do upon waking up, that action is reinforced daily until it becomes automatic. The same is true for positive habits. If you build the habit of writing, exercising, or deep work at the same time every day, your brain will begin to expect and crave those activities. The secret to self-discipline is not willpower. It is designing habits that remove the need for constant decision-making. One of the most powerful ways to build habits is through environmental design. Friedrich Nietzsche argued that a person is not just shaped by their thoughts, but by the structures they create around themselves. The disciplined do not leave their focus to chance. They design their surroundings to support their goals. If you want to read more, place books in every room. If you want to eat healthier, remove junk food from your house. If you want to write daily, create a workspace free from distractions. The most disciplined individuals make success easy and failure difficult by shaping their environment deliberately. Another essential principle of habit building is the two-day rule. Many people fall into an all-or-nothing mindset, believing that if they miss one workout, one study session, or one deep work session, they have failed. But true discipline is not about perfection. It is about never allowing 2 days of failure in a row. If you miss a workout, return the next day. If you procrastinate on an important task, correct it immediately. The difference between those who succeed and those who quit is not that the successful never fail. It is that they never allow failure to become the new habit. One of the greatest struggles in habit formation is overcoming boredom. When something is new, it is exciting. But the disciplined do not depend on excitement. They build routines that carry them through moments of monotony. Marcus Aurelius, the Stoic emperor, did not write his meditations because it was always enjoyable. He did it because he understood that discipline is about showing up, not about feeling inspired. The same is true for every habit. The strongest routines are the ones that continue even when motivation disappears. To make discipline effortless, use habit stacking, a technique where you attach a new habit to an existing one. For example, if you already drink coffee every morning, use that time to review your goals. If you take a daily walk, listen to an audiobook while doing so. By linking new behaviors to existing routines, they become easier to sustain over time. Ultimately, self-discipline is not about intensity, it is about consistency. Aristotle saw that excellence is built through repetition. James Clear demonstrated that habits shape identity. Nietzsche believed that our surroundings shape our actions. Marcus Aurelius proved that discipline is about showing up, not about feeling inspired. Their lesson is clear. Your habits determine your future. Those who master the art of daily discipline do not need motivation to succeed. They act, they repeat, they persist, until success is no longer something they chase, but something they embody. Overcome mental barriers, defeat, self-doubt, and fear. The greatest obstacles to success are not external. They exist within the mind. Self-doubt, fear of failure, and limiting beliefs hold more people back than any real challenge ever could. Many never realize their potential, not because they lack ability, but because they allow mental barriers to control their actions. True self-discipline is not just about controlling behavior, it is about mastering the thoughts that drive those behaviors. The person who learns to overcome their own mind becomes unstoppable. Throughout history, the greatest thinkers and leaders understood this truth. Epictetus, the Stoic philosopher, taught that it is not events that disturb us, but our interpretation of them. He saw that fear and doubt were not realities, but mental constructs, illusions created by the mind. A challenge is not inherently overwhelming. It becomes so only when the mind frames it as such. Failure is not an end point. It is merely a step in the learning process. Those who allow their thoughts to spiral into negativity create obstacles that do not actually exist. The disciplined mind, however, questions every limiting belief, refusing to accept mental narratives that weaken resolve. Modern psychology confirms this principle. Cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, has shown that most fears and doubts are distortions of reality, exaggerations that the mind creates. Studies reveal that over 90% of the things people fear never actually happen, and when they do, they are rarely as catastrophic as imagined. The disciplined individual understands this and trains their mind to see thoughts not as truths, but as mental constructs that can be challenged and reshaped. Instead of thinking, "I will fail," they reframe it. "I will learn." Instead of believing, "I am not good enough," they shift to, "I am improving every day." The mind, when left unchecked, creates barriers. The disciplined mind dismantles them. One of the most common mental blocks is perfectionism, the belief that if something cannot be done perfectly, it should not be done at all. This mindset destroys progress before it even begins. Leonardo da Vinci, one of history's greatest minds, never saw any of his works as complete. He understood that mastery is a process, not a single act. Those who demand perfection from the start will never move forward. The disciplined person accepts imperfection, understanding that progress is built through repeated effort, not through waiting for flawless execution. Another crippling barrier is the fear of failure. Many avoid pursuing goals, not because they lack the ability, but because they fear the discomfort of falling short. Thomas Edison, when asked about his many failed attempts to invent the light bulb, famously replied, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." His success was not due to raw intelligence alone. It was his willingness to persist, despite repeated failures. The disciplined individual does not see failure as something to fear, but as feedback, an opportunity to refine, adjust, and move forward with greater precision. To break through mental barriers, one must actively challenge self-imposed limitations. This can be done through the what if reversal. When fear arises, ask, "What if I succeed?" The mind naturally gravitates toward negative possibilities, but by shifting the focus to potential success, motivation increases. The worst case scenario. Exercise. Often people fear vague, undefined consequences. Writing out the absolute worst thing that could happen and realizing it is rarely as bad as imagined removes its power. The action-first approach. Instead of waiting for confidence, act first. Confidence is not the cause of action, it is the result. The more one acts despite fear, the weaker the fear becomes. Ultimately, overcoming mental barriers is a discipline in itself. Epictetus saw that suffering comes from perception, not reality. Psychology proves that fear is often an illusion. Da Vinci demonstrated that perfectionism is the enemy of progress. Edison showed that failure is merely a step toward success. Their lesson is clear. Self-doubt, fear, and hesitation are illusions created by the mind. The disciplined individual does not wait for fear to disappear. They act in spite of it, proving to themselves with every step forward that the mind, once mastered, becomes the most powerful tool for achievement. Stay consistent. Even when motivation fades, discipline over emotion. Motivation is fleeting, It comes in waves. One day, it surges with intensity, making work effortless. The next, it vanishes, leaving behind resistance and fatigue. Those who rely on motivation alone remain inconsistent, trapped in cycles of productivity followed by stagnation. But those who achieve true mastery understand a fundamental truth. Discipline is stronger than emotion. It is the force that keeps you moving forward when inspiration fades, when doubt creeps in, when the mind begs for an easier path. Lao Tzu, the ancient Chinese philosopher, believed that persistence was more valuable than strength. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, he wrote. Not with a burst of energy, not with a perfect plan, but with the simple act of showing up day after day, regardless of how one feels. He understood that consistency is not about dramatic effort. It is about steady, deliberate action that compounds over time. Modern science supports this. The concept of neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to rewire itself, shows that repeated actions create stronger neural pathways. This means that every time a person chooses discipline over distraction, they reinforce the habit of consistency. The disciplined mind does not ask, "Do I feel like doing this today?" It simply does what must be done. Over time, this repetition makes focus effortless, turning hard work into second nature. One of the greatest obstacles to consistency is emotional resistance. The brain naturally avoids discomfort, seeking the easiest possible path. Marcus Aurelius, the Stoic emperor, recognized this tendency and trained himself to ignore it. Each morning he reminded himself that he would face resistance, that his mind would try to persuade him to delay, to complain, to seek comfort. But instead of giving in, he framed his responsibilities as his duty, something greater than passing emotions. This mindset shift is essential. When discipline is tied to purpose, it no longer depends on temporary motivation. Another powerful strategy for maintaining consistency is habit automation. James Clear, in Atomic Habits, explains that the best way to stay consistent is to remove decision-making from the process. Those who decide each morning whether they will work out, study, or write will inevitably find reasons to delay. But those who eliminate choice, who commit to routines that do not require willpower, remain consistent even when motivation is absent. To build unshakable discipline, apply the never skip twice rule, a principle used by elite performers. Missing one day is inevitable. Missing two is a choice. If a workout is skipped, the next session must be completed no matter what. If a project is delayed, the next day must be fully dedicated to it. This rule prevents inconsistency from becoming a habit. Another key technique is commitment anchoring, tying discipline to identity. Instead of saying, "I need to work harder," say, "I am the kind of person who follows through." Studies show that when behavior aligns with self-identity, discipline becomes instinctive. Those who view themselves as disciplined do not struggle with consistency. They act in accordance with who they believe they are. Ultimately, discipline is what remains when motivation disappears. Lao Tzu saw that persistence outweighs strength. Neuroplasticity proves that repetition rewires the brain. Marcus Aurelius trained himself to move beyond emotion. James Clear demonstrated that automation removes resistance. Their lesson is clear. Success does not come from working hard when you feel like it. It comes from working hard even when you don't. Those who master this principle do not wait for motivation to return. They act, they persist, and they achieve. Because for them, consistency is not an option. It is who they are. Develop resilience through failure. Use setbacks as fuel. Failure is not the opposite of success. It is part of it. Every great achievement, every lasting victory, every masterfully honed skill is built upon a foundation of setbacks, mistakes, and lessons learned the hard way. Yet, most people fear failure as if it is something to be avoided at all costs. They see it as a sign of weakness, as proof that they are not capable. But those who develop true discipline and resilience understand that failure is not a roadblock. It is a stepping stone. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, was once asked how it felt to fail over 10,000 times before succeeding. His response was legendary: "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. This mindset is what separates those who persist from those who give up." The disciplined do not fear failure because they redefine it. They do not see it as an endpoint, but as feedback, as data that helps them improve, refine, and move forward with greater precision. The Stoics understood this deeply. Seneca wrote that adversity is not something to avoid, but something to embrace, because it strengthens character. He compared life's challenges to a gladiator's training. Only through struggle does one become strong enough to endure the real battle. Those who are never tested never grow. Resilience is not developed in comfort. It is forged in hardship. Modern psychology confirms that the way we interpret failure determines how we respond to it. The concept of a growth mindset, developed by psychologist Carol Dweck, reveals that people who believe their abilities are fixed tend to crumble under failure. They see setbacks as proof that they are not good enough. But those with a growth mindset, those who believe they can improve through effort, see failure as temporary, as something that refines them rather than defines them. To develop resilience through failure, one must change their mental framework, reframe failure as data. Instead of asking, "Why did I fail?" ask, "What did this teach me?" Detach from the outcome. Focus on effort, not just results. The disciplined commit to the process, knowing that results will follow. Study the failures of those who succeeded. Every great figure in history failed before achieving success. J.K. Rowling was rejected by 12 publishers before Harry Potter was accepted. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team before becoming the greatest player in NBA history. Their failures were not roadblocks, they were necessary steps. One of the most powerful techniques for overcoming failure is the 24-hour rule. This principle states that after any failure, setback, or disappointment, give yourself 24 hours to reflect, but then move forward. This prevents overanalyzing mistakes while ensuring that lessons are learned. The disciplined do not dwell on failure for weeks or months. They extract the lesson, make the adjustment, and take the next step forward. Seneca taught that struggle builds character. Edison proved that persistence outlasts failure. Carol Dweck's research confirms that mindset shapes resilience. The greatest achievers in history have all faced rejection, defeat, and adversity, but they did not let those moments define them. Their lesson is clear: failure is not a signal to stop, it is an invitation to grow. Those who understand this do not fear setbacks. They expect them, learn from them, and use them as fuel, turning every failure into a foundation for future success. Control your reactions. Emotional discipline is mental strength. Discipline is not just about controlling actions, it is about mastering emotions. In moments of stress, conflict, or uncertainty, the ability to remain calm is what separates those who crumble from those who rise. Most people react impulsively, allowing anger, frustration, or fear to dictate their behavior. But those who develop true self-mastery understand that the strongest person is not the one who reacts the fastest, but the one who responds with clarity and intention. Epictetus, the Stoic philosopher, taught that it is not events that disturb us, but our interpretation of them. This means that no situation inherently has power over you. Your response is what gives it meaning. A negative comment, a missed opportunity, an unexpected challenge, none of these force an emotional reaction. It is the mind that assigns value, that turns inconvenience into outrage, or setback into despair. The disciplined individual does not allow external events to dictate their internal state. They practice emotional detachment, observing their feelings without being consumed by them. Modern psychology confirms this principle. Cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, has shown that emotional reactions are often automatic, but they can be trained and reshaped. When an event occurs, the brain immediately assigns meaning based on past experiences, biases, and fears. But the disciplined mind pauses before reacting. This brief moment, often just a few seconds, is where power lies. Between stimulus and response, there is always a choice. Those who train themselves to take a deep breath, to analyze a situation before responding, gain control over their emotions rather than being controlled by them. The samurai warriors of Japan practiced this principle through Mushin no Shin, or the mind of no mind. This was the ability to remain completely composed, even in the heat of battle. They trained themselves not to react emotionally to fear, pain, or provocation, but to move with precision and awareness. To them, discipline was not just physical, it was the ability to maintain absolute control over one's state of mind, no matter the external chaos. To develop emotional discipline, one must practice the 5-second rule. When faced with an emotional trigger, wait 5 seconds before responding. This simple pause prevents impulsive reactions and allows logical thinking to take over. Reframing negative events. Instead of thinking, "This is unfair," or "Why did this happen to me?" reframe it as, "What can I learn from this?" or "How can this make me stronger?" Stoic visualization. Each morning, visualize potential challenges and mentally prepare yourself to handle them with composure. Marcus Aurelius called this premeditatio malorum, the practice of expecting difficulty so that it never catches you off guard. The key to emotional discipline is not suppression, it is awareness. The goal is not to ignore emotions, but to understand them, to choose when and how to express them, rather than letting them control behavior. Epictetus taught that reaction is a choice. CBT proves that emotions can be reprogrammed. The samurai trained themselves to remain composed under pressure. Marcus Aurelius prepared for hardship before it arrived. Their lesson is clear. Those who control their reactions control their destiny. The ability to remain calm in chaos, to respond rather than react, is one of the highest forms of self-discipline. Eliminate distractions and stay focused. Guard your attention like a fortress. In an age of endless notifications, constant entertainment, and infinite choices, focus has become a rare and powerful asset. Most people struggle to concentrate, not because they lack intelligence or ambition, but because they do not control their environment. They let their environment control them. The ability to eliminate distractions and stay locked in on a goal is one of the highest forms of self-discipline. Those who master their focus master their future. Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher and mathematician, once said, "All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone." He understood that most people cannot handle stillness, cannot handle deep thought, cannot focus without seeking distraction. This is why social media, entertainment, and instant gratification have such a strong grip on modern minds. The world rewards distraction. But greatness is built in silence, in uninterrupted effort, in the deep work that others avoid. Neuroscience confirms that focus is a finite resource. The brain's prefrontal cortex, responsible for deep thinking, can only handle so much at a time. Every notification, every interruption, every quick check of the phone weakens attention span and makes it harder to return to meaningful work. Studies show that it takes an average of 23 minutes to fully regain focus after being interrupted. This means that those who live in a constant state of distraction never truly reach their peak cognitive potential. The disciplined individual understands this and treats attention like a fortress, something to be fiercely protected. They design their environment intentionally, removing anything that weakens concentration. They structure their days with focused work blocks, eliminating unnecessary noise. They train their minds to resist the urge for instant dopamine, knowing that real success is built through deep, sustained effort. One of the most effective methods for eliminating distractions is the monk mode approach, a concept inspired by ancient monastic practices where individuals temporarily cut themselves off from external noise to focus intensely on a specific goal. In today's world, this means setting strict boundaries with technology, scheduling distraction-free deep work sessions, and prioritizing solitude as a tool for peak performance. To take control of focus, implement these strategies. Create a digital fortress, use app blockers, turn off notifications, and designate specific times for checking messages instead of being constantly reactive. Time box deep work. Follow the Pomodoro technique or 90-minute focus cycles to work in uninterrupted sprints, followed by deliberate breaks. The one-tab rule. Keep only one browser tab open at a time to train your brain to stay locked in on a single task. Use environmental triggers. Keep your workspace clean, remove distractions, and signal to yourself when it's time for deep work, e.g., wearing noise-cancelling headphones. Focus is not about working harder. It is about working without interruption, without fragmentation, without scattering energy across meaningless tasks. Pascal recognized that people fear stillness because it forces them to confront their own minds. Neuroscience proves that attention is a limited resource that must be protected. Monks and high performers alike understand that isolation and deep focus are the birthplace of mastery. Their lesson is clear. Those who control their attention shape their destiny. In a world of endless noise, the ability to focus is not just an advantage, it is a superpower. Use visualization to reinforce success. Train your mind to win before you begin. The body follows where the mind leads. Before any great achievement becomes reality, it must first exist as a vision, a clear mental picture of what is possible. Many believe that success is purely about action, but the most disciplined individuals understand that the mind must be trained before the body can follow. Visualization is not just a passive daydream. It is an active process that programs the brain for success, strengthens focus, and reinforces discipline. Marcus Aurelius, the Stoic emperor, practiced premeditatio malorum, the art of visualizing obstacles before they occurred. He prepared his mind for hardship by imagining every possible challenge, ensuring that when adversity struck, he would already know how to respond. This is the power of mental preparation. When you see difficulties in advance, they lose their power to shake you. Those who master visualization do not leave their success to chance. They mentally walk the path before they take the first step. Neuroscience confirms this principle. Studies on mental rehearsal have shown that the brain does not distinguish much between a vividly imagined event and a real one. Athletes who visualize their performance activate the same neural pathways as those who physically train. This is why elite competitors spend hours mentally rehearsing their actions before stepping onto the field. The mind builds success before the body executes it. Nikola Tesla, the brilliant inventor, famously designed and tested his inventions entirely in his mind before ever building a prototype. He would visualize every detail, every movement, every function, ensuring that by the time he brought an idea to life, it had already been refined to perfection. This is not just a technique for scientists and athletes. It's a tool for anyone seeking to master self-discipline. To harness the power of visualization, use these techniques. Mental rehearsal. Before an important task, close your eyes and vividly imagine yourself performing it with precision and confidence. Feel the experience as if it is real. Future self-projection. Regularly picture your future self, the version of you who has already mastered discipline, achieved goals, and conquered weaknesses. Let this image guide your decisions. Negative visualization. Borrowing from Stoic philosophy, imagine the worst-case scenario and mentally prepare yourself to handle it with resilience. When challenges come, you will not be caught off guard. Visualization alone is not enough. It must be combined with action. However, those who train their minds to see success before it happens enter every challenge with an advantage. Marcus Aurelius visualized obstacles to strengthen his response. Neuroscience proves that mental rehearsal enhances real-world performance. Tesla demonstrated that the mind can construct success before it is physically realized. Their lesson is clear. If you want to control your reality, you must first control your vision of it. Those who see their success before it happens make it inevitable. Surround yourself with the right people. Your environment shapes your discipline. No one becomes disciplined in isolation. The people around you either sharpen your focus or dull your ambition, either push you toward excellence or pull you into mediocrity. The disciplined understand that their environment is not just the physical space they occupy, it is also the mental and emotional energy of the people they allow into their lives. The saying, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with," is not just a cliché. It is a psychological reality. Aristotle believed that virtue is cultivated through habit, but also through association. He observed that people naturally take on the values, behaviors, and ambitions of those around them. If you surround yourself with disciplined, driven individuals, their habits will shape yours. If you surround yourself with complacency, procrastination, and negativity, you will absorb those patterns as well. The mind, like water, takes the shape of its container. Modern neuroscience confirms this idea through mirror neurons, the brain cells responsible for mimicking behaviors. Studies show that humans subconsciously adopt the attitudes, speech patterns, and even body language of those they spend time with. This means that if you want to develop discipline, you must consciously choose to be around people who embody it. Their work ethic, their focus, their mindset will naturally become part of your own thinking. But discipline is not just about who you surround yourself with. It is also about who you distance yourself from. Seneca warned against the influence of the undisciplined, stating that, "Associate with those who will make a better man of you." The reality is that some relationships drain energy, encourage bad habits, or keep you locked in an old version of yourself. The disciplined are not afraid to cut ties with those who hinder their growth. This does not mean arrogance or cruelty. It means recognizing that your time and mental space are too valuable to waste on influences that weaken your resolve. To apply this principle, take these steps. Audit your circle. Write down the 5 people you interact with the most. Do they challenge you? Do they push you to be better? Or do they encourage excuses and distractions? Seek out high performers. Join communities, mastermind groups, or mentorship circles where discipline is the norm. You will rise to the level of those you engage with. Set boundaries. Protect your energy. If someone consistently drains your focus or discourages your goals, limit your time with them. History proves that great minds do not grow in isolation. They grow in the company of other great minds. Aristotle saw that character is shaped by association. Neuroscience confirms that our habits mirror those around us. Seneca warned against negative influences. Their lesson is clear. Self-discipline is contagious. If you surround yourself with those who embody it, you will naturally absorb their mindset. Choose wisely, because the people in your life are either building your future or holding you back from it. Make discipline a way of life. When self-control becomes second nature. Discipline is not a tool you use occasionally. It must become a core part of who you are. Many view self-discipline as something to be switched on when needed, a temporary effort to achieve a goal. But the truly disciplined do not think this way. For them, discipline is not an action, but an identity. It is not something they force themselves to do. It is simply how they live. Confucius, the great Chinese philosopher, believed that habit and discipline shape destiny more than talent or luck ever could. He observed that the most successful individuals do not rely on bursts of effort, but on a deep-rooted commitment to consistency. They do not wait for the perfect moment, the right motivation, or external pressure. They train themselves to act, regardless of circumstance. Their discipline is not reactive, it is ingrained. Modern neuroscience supports this. Studies on habit formation show that the brain, when exposed to repeated behaviors, creates automatic neural pathways that make those behaviors effortless. This is why brushing your teeth or tying your shoes requires no thought. They are wired into your identity. The same is true for self-discipline. The more one practices it, the more natural it becomes. At a certain point, discipline ceases to feel like effort. It simply becomes the way one operates. The disciplined do not negotiate with themselves. They do not waste energy debating whether they should wake up early, go to the gym, or focus on their work. They remove the internal dialogue entirely by making their habits non-negotiable. Leonardo da Vinci understood this principle. He did not paint, invent, and study because he felt like it. He did it because it was who he was. He trained his mind to crave work, to seek discipline rather than avoid it. This is the key. When discipline becomes a part of your identity, it is no longer something you struggle with. It is something you embody. To make discipline a way of life, apply these strategies. Eliminate negotiation. Remove internal debates about whether you should do something. If a task aligns with your goals, it is non-negotiable. Create identity-based habits. Instead of saying, "I will try to be more disciplined," say, "I am a disciplined person." The way you define yourself shapes your actions. Follow the no zero days rule. Never allow a single day to pass without working toward your goal, no matter how small the effort. Ultimately, true mastery is not about occasional discipline, it is about making discipline effortless. Confucius taught that discipline shapes destiny. Neuroscience proves that repeated behavior rewires the brain. Leonardo da Vinci showed that discipline, when fully embraced, becomes second nature. Their lesson is clear. Success does not belong to those who practice discipline occasionally. It belongs to those who live it. When discipline is no longer something you try to do, but something you cannot imagine living without, you have reached a level of self-mastery that few ever attain. Make discipline a core part of your identity. When focus becomes who you are. True discipline is not about forcing yourself to do hard things. It is about becoming the kind of person who naturally does them. Many struggle with self-discipline because they view it as an external effort, something they must constantly push themselves to maintain. But the most successful individuals do not see discipline as a temporary tool. They see it as part of their core identity. When discipline stops being a decision and starts being who you are, consistency becomes effortless. Socrates, one of history's greatest thinkers, believed that the way to achieve greatness was not through occasional effort, but through becoming the kind of person who embodies excellence in everything they do. He argued that self-mastery was not about individual acts, but about transforming one's entire nature. The disciplined do not ask themselves, "Should I wake up early?" or "Should I stay focused?" They simply do it, because that is who they are. Modern behavioral science confirms this. Identity-based habits, a concept explored in Atomic Habits by James Clear, suggests that the most effective way to sustain discipline is not to focus on outcomes, but on self-image. Instead of saying, "I need to work harder," say, "I am the kind of person who works hard." Instead of saying, "I should be more disciplined," say, "I am disciplined." Your actions will always align with the way you see yourself. But making discipline part of your identity requires one crucial shift. You must remove negotiation. The moment you allow yourself to debate whether to take action, you create resistance. The most disciplined individuals do not negotiate with themselves, they act. Bruce Lee embodied this philosophy. He did not train, study, and perfect his craft based on motivation. He did it because discipline was part of his identity. He removed choice from the equation. There was no alternative. To internalize discipline at an identity level, apply these principles. Reinforce identity through repetition. The more you act in alignment with your desired identity, the stronger it becomes. Every time you choose discipline, you prove to yourself who you are. Eliminate decision fatigue. Set clear routines and rules for yourself, so you never waste energy deciding what to do next. Adopt the "I don't miss twice" rule. Missing one day of discipline is human. Missing two is a choice. Never allow a single failure to become a new pattern. Ultimately, the most disciplined people do not see self-control as a struggle. They see it as who they are. Socrates taught that self-mastery is about transforming one's nature. James Clear proved that identity-based habits shape long-term discipline. Bruce Lee showed that eliminating negotiation removes resistance. Their lesson is clear. Discipline is not something you practice. It is something you become. When you no longer need to remind yourself to stay disciplined, because it is simply part of your identity, you have reached a level of self-mastery that few ever attain. Discipline is not about punishment. It is not about restriction or forcing yourself into misery. It is about freedom, the ability to take control of your life rather than being controlled by distractions, emotions, or fleeting desires. Those who master discipline do not rely on motivation. They do not wait for the perfect moment. They do not allow circumstances to dictate their actions. Instead, they act because discipline has become who they are. Every great thinker, from Socrates to Confucius, from Marcus Aurelius to Bruce Lee, understood that self-mastery is the foundation of a meaningful life. They saw that those who control themselves can shape their destiny, while those who do not will always be at the mercy of the world around them. Success, fulfillment, and true greatness do not come from talent alone. They come from consistent action, from mastering small daily habits, from choosing growth over comfort over and over again. The question is not whether discipline is possible, the question is whether you will choose to make it part of your identity. Will you act when motivation fades? Will you train yourself to push forward despite doubt, fear, and discomfort? Will you remove negotiation and commit fully to the path of self-mastery? In the end, discipline is not a skill, it is a way of living. The choice is always yours. Either you command your mind, or your mind commands you. Either you create your future, or you let it be decided for you. The disciplined do not hope for success, they make it inevitable.